Basketball Podcast, the Ion Basketball Podcast, switched it up there. I'm your host, Zach Harper. I've got Matt Moore. We are recording this Thursday evening because I am out of town on Friday and therefore unable to record and upload a podcast. Matt, how's it going?
Good. You realize that this means something big is going to happen on Thursday night or Friday morning, and people are going to be like, oh, I got to go check out the podcast, see what the reaction is, and be like, what is this?
Yeah, I feel like, well, I mean, there are All-Star reserves that were announced Thursday night, which we don't know right now. I'm just going to assume that all of my picks were correct for our midseason stuff. And what's going to be nice is that probably most of this won't matter in the morning.
Yeah, probably none of it will matter.
Yeah, none of it's going to matter. It's going to be great. I can't believe that Jeff Green punched a hole through Carmelo's left arm. That was unexpected.
Man, I did not expect Courtney Lee to stab a guy in the face.
It was really weird. I can't believe Michael Beasley had more points than shots.
Oh, hilarity.
So, this is what we're doing. Since we are pre-recording, we have no news to report. We are going over...
Well, we have some news.
Well, we have some news.
If we wanted to. I mean, you might say Pella can report some news.
Wow. Kind of feel like just stopping the recording right now. Like, yeah, that one, you really made me fly off the handle here.
So many Pelican jokes. So many Once Upon a Time in Mexico gags.
Let's just wing it.
Oh. Before we do what we're here to do, I do have one thing I was thinking of on a radio. I thought of this on a radio show. I didn't say it because they would think I was an idiot, but you will understand this.
because I am an idiot.
Right. I figured out what the Lakers are.
Okay.
They're the movie Swordfish.
Oh.
Star-studded cast, huge budget, absolutely awful.
Yeah, I like that.
The 2013 Los Angeles Lakers are the movie Swordfish.
Kobe is Hugh Jackman, right?
Yeah, Kobe's got to be Hugh Jackman. And Dwight's John Travolta.
Yeah. Who is Halle Berry by the pool?
That's Pow.
Really?
Just imagine Pow stretched out in a bikini by the pool.
Yeah, I could see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're here to do something kind of fun today.
We are. We've got 7 saintly rules for talking trades.
So, Zach and I get a lot of trade suggestions, as you might expect, being big-time NBA analysts and Twitter files. And so we're constantly bombarded with these trade suggestions, and people want to know, like, hey... I feel bad because a lot of times it's, oh, hey, I really worked on this, and I think this is a really good idea. What do you think? And often I am like, are you brain dead? What is wrong with you? That is the single worst trade I've ever seen. How could you possibly think this? And so I try and be nice. If you come to me and you're nice about it, and you're like, hey, what do you think? I might be like, well, you know, that's not really a good idea so much as it is a bad idea. But we thought we might want to just clarify a few things that people tend to get lost on. Especially people that aren't using the trade machine via a certain website.
Yes. I think the one thing is just like, I will, there are certain people where I'll just be flat out mean because they've earned that reputation.
Right.
But I think for the most part, I end up not trying to explain why it's a bad idea, but ask them to explain why it's a good idea.
Right.
Like I'll just be like, what's the win here for Milwaukee or for, you know, Portland or, you know, whoever the trade is really just dressing down.
Yeah, I get that in this situation you get Tyson Chandler and that's great for you.
Yeah.
But what did the Knicks get here besides?
I feel like Samuel D'Alembert is not equal value.
Yeah, just you might want to consider what the Knicks are giving up there.
Yeah.
In terms of return value.
There are certain instances though where I do understand why you would try to propose a fleecing if you feel like the other team is desperate. Like, I think that it seemed like a couple of those Rudy Gay trade proposals that I got, at least, where we're like, hey, we think that they need to get rid of this guy. So I think this would maximize the gain for us. And I think sometimes it's well thought out.
And well, one of the rules that we'll talk about is factoring not just player return. But there are times when there are times when teams are okay with getting negative value back.
Yes.
In terms of player for player, because of the financial incentives, or they're making room for something else, or they you know, whatever their long-term incentive is, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Alan Anderson and Jose Calderon for Rudy Gay is not
right.
That is not one of those situations.
Right.
Ronnie, I'm just telling you, like, that. Don't bring Alan Anderson in here and say, oh, but look at what he does. And that kind of brings us to our first rule.
Oh, do you want me to?
Right, well, I'll do it.
Okay.
The first rule is don't overvalue your favorite player / spark plug.
Correct. You might say that Avery Bradley falls into this quite a bit.
This is the Avery Bradley rule.
Yes.
Because Celtics fans are basically like, well, I don't want to give up Avery for anything, but if we have to give him up, I'm okay if we get back Dwayne Wade.
Right.
You know, or DeMarcus Cousins.
And a draft pick.
And a draft pick. Or, you know, I've seen guys say, well, what about Avery Bradley for Kevin Love? Somebody said that to me the other day.
Oh, boy. And that's the thing is that I think Avery Bradley is a guy the Celtics feel like they probably have to get more value back for than they're giving up, because he's, one, a fan favorite, two, one of those role players that teams can fall in love with. But it doesn't mean you're getting a superstar back.
Yeah, and it's like Avery Bradley is, you know, they'll say that he's the best on-ball defender in the NBA.
Yeah.
They're wrong, right. But they'll say that he's the best. But they have a legitimate, it's at least reasonable for them to say that as fans, to exaggerate him. You can reasonably exaggerate him to be the best on-ball defender in the NBA.
Right. Or you could even say arguably, you know.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that they were all so fed up and kind of annoyed with trick-or-treat Tony Allen. And Bradley's kind of similar. He plays a little bit more in control.
Yeah, I think he's a lot more in control on offense. Right. I mean, not than Allen now, but Allen back then. I think so.
But you're also like, I mean, you're not going to go into a situation. You're never like, oh, hey, I know, let's give you Avery Bradley and let him isolate.
Right.
doing that, it's like, you know, he hits some three-pointers, makes some back cuts, makes some strong plays. Great. Fantastic.
But, yeah.
You know, don't overvalue your favorite guy. And Alan Anderson's one of those. The Raptors fans have been, you know, oh, how is shooting? No pure shooter is going to be worth that unless you're talking about J.J. Redick or Ray Allen.
Right.
That's the level you have to get to. And it's got to be guys that have experience in big situations.
Right.
Completely. You know, Matt Bonner's a pure shooter. Not going to be trading him for Rudy Gay.
I think that it's, I mean, it is somewhat tough because you do want to win trades, but you do have to, like, know the value of the guy.
Yeah, it's okay for you to want to get the better thing, but you have to at least think that the team would be like, oh, you know, we actually might be pretty good there.
Right.
That's what I was confused about with Suns fans. They were like, but you're getting Jared Dudley. And I was like, I know, we're getting Jared Dudley.
And he's fine.
You know? I will say the kind of a postulate of number one is number two.
Yes.
Or not number two, but it was related to number two, but there's kind of like a 1B, which is don't undervalue your guys either.
Sure.
Like, don't come to me with Josh Smith for, you know, Glenn Davis and
Mo Harkless.
And Mo Harkless. Yeah. Don't do that. It's like, Josh Smith.
Yeah.
And even the Raptors, even if you're so tired of Bargnani and you hate him and he's the worst, bah, like, you could still get good return on Bargnani.
Sure.
You know, don't suggest that that the Raptors should trade Andrea Bargnani for DeJuan Blair straight up.
Right.
You're not getting a good return on that. You have to get something back for your investment.
Speaking of investments, this brings us to rule number two.
Make sure the money matches.
Yes.
Now, if you don't want to use a certain four-letter website, which we're fine with because, you know, we're CBSSports.com, there actually is a checker on RealGM.com. I'll provide you with one.
That's the frustrating part is when you get a trade proposal and you're like, well, right, Pau is going out, but you're only bringing in $7 million. Like, unless you have you're dealing with a team way under the cap, that doesn't work. Like, with the recent, sorry to bring this up, with the recent Grizzlies-Cavs trade, that worked quite a bit because the Cavs were way under the cap.
Right. And, you know, part of that, too, is even if you're not going to use a checker, you can do it in your head. Just try and match the money evenly.
Yeah.
You know, you've got some wiggle room there with 125, I think it's 150% now.
Yeah.
Trade rule, and which is great.
There's plenty of resources. Like, there's Storyteller Contracts, there's Sham Sports. Like, there are good resources out there that have good estimations or dead-on reporting of what the money is.
And I'm not asking you to know all the rules of the CBA. I don't know all the rules of the CBA. I can't even begin to. That's why I rely on Larry Goon's FAQ. Like, no way for me to know that.
I am absolutely asking you to know that. That way I don't have to do as much thinking.
But at the same time, at least be aware of the fact that you can't trade Pau Gasol for Derek Williams and that's it.
Right.
You know, one, the talent's not there, and two, the money doesn't match.
Right.
You have to be considerate of these things, and you have to kind of understand how that goes.
And that was one frustrating thing with me, was when people were trying to figure out how to fleece Minnesota for Pau Gasol. By getting Pau Gasol there, it was like, okay, the only way this works is if they trade, like, Derek Williams, Peck, and another, like, $5 to $6 million player. Well, they're not going to give up that much for him. And then it's like, okay, you won't give up Peck. And it's like, all right, well, now you're talking Andre Kirilenko, who's $10 million. Like, there was no way of making that work without a third team. Now, if you want to bring a third team in there, then you can start discussing it. But without doing that, like, you just have to know, yes, the money has to match, but it has to match intelligently.
Number three, you don't get to win the trade just because the other team sucks.
I feel like you're targeting a certain fan base.
I am targeting a certain fan base. Yeah, so often I'll ask, well, why would they do this? Like, well, they're idiots. Well, then why are you suggesting it to me? I can't tell you whether or not you can pull off something that requires them to be stupid.
Right.
You know? I mean, there are lots of, and we'll get to kind of the factors involved in number six, but, you know, just don't expect for the Cavaliers to do something inherently stupid. In reality, their trades are actually rather good. Their player assessment's bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, their actual trade mechanisms are very, very good. They've pulled off quite a few really smart trades. You know, the Hornets, it's like, well, no, they're terrible. Well, no. They're terrible, but they're well run.
Right.
They're young. They're rebuilding from Chris Paul. Like, make sure that you understand this when you go into it. You know, and try and have some sort of sense. And this kind of ties into to number four, which I'm actually going to move up one. And it's your rule.
Yes.
It's number five, which are our original. But what's the rule?
If you were a fan of the other team, would you want it to go through? This is the biggest question I have for people when they present a trade. I say, all right, if you like the other team, would you be happy with this deal?
And the answer is usually no, absolutely not.
Right. It's what I like to call the a time to kill rule. It's always, now imagine you're them. Like, picture this trade going through. Picture the money getting sent. Picture the picks getting sent. Now imagine you're a fan of the other team. Like,
no,
it doesn't work.
Now, rule four, section B is, unless you're a Laker fan.
Right. That's true.
I will say, if you're a Laker fan, you don't have to think about what the other team would go through, because they will inexplicably help you.
Right. That's just part of what happens.
I mean, we could joke about it, but I mean, seriously, the Suns helped out the Lakers. Like, that's their biggest rival for years and years and years. And the Suns were like, here's our Hall of Fame icon.
Right.
What do you guys send us? Ah, draft pick and some crap.
Yeah.
Some cash. Thanks. So the Lakers can do that. No other fan base, though. Celtics, I'm talking to you. You don't get to do this. You don't pull off these kind of trades. You gave good value for Ray Allen, and you gave good value for Kevin Garnett.
Right.
But yeah, you need to think about, and all the teams, if you're constructing a multi-team trade, think about, don't get lost, because you'll be like, oh, but this team gets this. Well, yeah, but the other team is getting, you know, the Bobcats are getting, I'm trying to think, what's the worst contract in the league? Pau Gasol. No, I'm just kidding. You know, Bobcats are getting, you know, Michael Beasley and Alan Anderson for Ben Gordon and Bismack Biyombo. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
Come on. Think about your fellow man here, people. Think it through.
It's just, yes, you can rip off teams, and yes, it happens, but you can't just assume that it's going to happen because you like the other team.
Yeah, I think that's part of the thing, is don't suggest it to us, because these things do happen and we recognize that.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to be like, oh, yeah, that could totally happen. Or good trade. I'm going to be like, well, yeah, I mean, granted, this is possible. We are talking about David Kahn. But still, I don't think it's likely. I don't think it's probable. Because teams, part of it also is like, teams lose. But you have, here's kind of a postulate of four. Think of a reason, at least. least for why this team would do it. Even if you think that they would do it, at least come to me with, oh, hey, here's a line of thinking.
Yeah. That's another thing. If we're just an addendum for my own sanity, if we're going to do Timberwolves trades, don't say, well, David Kahn's an idiot. He drafted 8 point guards. Like, this is why he, you know, that's why they would do it. David Kahn doesn't actually run the team anymore without, like, Rick Adelman's approval.
Well, it's also, you can't use he's an idiot as a reason.
Right.
Right? It's, you can use...
I think David Kahn's very bad at his job, but he's not just, like, he hasn't been, like, lobotomized.
No, not at all. And he's actually, there's a lot of things he's done really well.
Well.
There's, like, a few things he's done very well.
Well...
There's like two things he's done really well. He drafted Ricky Rubio.
Okay, we're good. There you go. We're good. See how we worked that down? That was fun.
Number five, consider the long-term value for both franchises. So if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, even they have a limit to how much they're going to spend. So don't be trying to bring up a trade that's going to generate you, that where you're going to be, you know, $700 million in the luxury tax.
Yeah.
Granted, they're kind of there now in 2 years. But, you know, don't do that. And especially, you know, stuff like, think about the, try and look at the rosters and their contracts on any of the sites that we've listed and go, oh, they've got to re-sign this guy. So they're not going to have the money.
And that's the thing. Like, you can kind of see the future plan of a team by looking at the salary spreadsheets and seeing, oh, 2 years from now, they have almost nobody under contract. That's probably not a coincidence. Like, teams do look ahead and think, all right, we spend this much now. By this period, by this year, we will either have, like, gotten maximum value for ourselves, or we have the wiggle room to extend everything that's going on, or we can kind of start over and go a different direction. Like, they do plan that out quite a bit, unless you're Joe Dumars.
And if you're going to throw in one of those contracts, well, they've got the cap room because they can take on this contract because they've got the cap room. Factor that they're going to have to get back a player that's of huge value otherwise, because right. Otherwise a team wants to use it in free agency.
And that's another thing to kind of keep in mind is teams do, you know, you can always say, well, they have cap room, but they're not going to sign anybody. No one's going to go sign in, you know, Cleveland, or no one's going to go sign in Milwaukee if they have cap room. Teams use cap room for trades more than they use it for free agency signings, I would say.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, bear in mind, you also need to keep in mind, look, if you're going to dump all this money on them, they better be good, because otherwise they can't afford it. They can't afford to be bad, and, you know, a lot of these teams, like, you can't lose money. It's just it doesn't come down to winning or long-term value or trade assets or whatever. It's just, oh, this team wouldn't be very good,
right,
and they'd have a huge salary, and that's a recipe for going huge under in terms of your profitability.
Yeah. For sure.
These teams do need to make money.
I know we still have a couple of rules up. Does this feel as snooty as it does to you as it does to me?
Oh yeah, we're being total jerks here.
Okay, I'm fine with it. I just wanted to make sure it was coming off that way.
No, we're total jerks about it. It's okay. Just, you know, it's stupid and fun if you're sitting around with your buddies and you do it once a day, but you're sure. Gonna get like 1,700 trade proposals.
Sure.
So this is what's gonna happen. It's mostly that, I don't know, I tend to think this will make trades better, though. That's the other thing, is I want your trade proposals. I like your trade proposals. Send me your trade proposals. Because I like looking at them, I like thinking about things. And there have been a lot that have actually been like, oh, hey, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Like, this works for all teams. It won't happen because of stuff that deals with rule number six, actually, which is don't be oblivious to various incentives and causes and stuff in the market.
Explain this one.
Here's the deal. What I'm basically talking about here is it looks at it from the perspective of, you know, you said if you're a fan, if you're a fan of the other team, would you want it to go through? But there's also the teams aren't always looking out for the fans. So
that's true.
If you trade, you could trade Rudy Gay for, I think it's possible based on his talent, you could trade Rudy Gay for some really great players.
Yes.
But those contracts are going to be so high, Robert Parrin and company can't afford it. So if you're going to send me a Rudy Gay trade, it has to, you know, now it doesn't because they got into the tax, but before the Ellington trade, it's now the Ellington trade instead of the Spates trade, that's kind of insulting to Spates, but the lure trade.
The make it Wayne trade.
Yeah, that one. You know, before that, I kept telling people, I was like, look, you have to shave $4 million off the deal if you're going to send it to me.
Right.
Because that's the whole objective, is the team's got to get under luxury tax. Another thing to keep in mind here, this is one that I go through a lot with Bulls fans. Bulls fans, your owner is cheap. He just is. God bless him. He's been one of the most stable owners in the NBA.
Sure.
Your attendance is phenomenal because you guys just keep coming out no matter how bad the team is or how good it is or how marginal or how mediocre. Doesn't matter. You guys come out and you're the best fan base, I think, really, in the NBA based on attendance. I really do think, and you create one of the best atmospheres. I love the United Center, even though it's getting old. I think the atmosphere there is fantastic. Reinsdorf takes advantage of you because he knows that you will always come up. You'll always go.
Yep.
And Rip Hamilton is going to get traded at the deadline, not because it makes the Bulls a better team, not so they can bring in a big name player, not so they can make the team better and make a playoff run, because he's not going to pay the luxury tax.
Right.
That's why Rip Hamilton's going to get traded. So when I suggest trades where you send out good players and get marginal money back, it's because I know your owner doesn't want to spend money. It's not because I think that your GM's an idiot. It's that teams will do these things if there's a marginal upside to them, plus they save the money. That does factor into their decision making.
I think that another thing that kind of fits in with the market incentives is most teams – I mean, you could probably say this about all teams, but most teams – one of the, especially for like mid to smaller markets, a guy on a rookie deal is really hard to trade because it is such a value contract, because you are getting them for way under market price, and you have the flexibility and you have the advantage to extend them because they'll be restricted free agents. And so just throwing like guys on rookie deals into contracts, I'm not saying they don't get traded, but it's really hard to trade a value contract like that.
At the same time, there are teams where you can convince me. If you tell me that the Nuggets are going to trade Ty Lawson or JaVale McGee, I'm not going to object to you because they've done it with Nene.
Oh, sure.
And they've done it with other guys. Like this is what they do, is they make those trades. They'll sign somebody to an extension and then trade them.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm trying to think. You know, even the Cavaliers, like, it's unlikely they're going to trade Tristan Thompson because they don't know what he's going to be.
Right.
You know, that's really hard to estimate. So you got to consider not just what the team is looking at in terms of, oh, but this makes them better, because you know part of it was I'm an Andrea Bargnani guy.
Yeah.
But I mean, I recognize he's pretty bad, but I was still like, okay, he can play. There's no way the Grizzlies are going to trade for him. They've got an all-star center, an all-star worthy power forward. You know, they've got Darrell Arthur, who dropped 20 on the Lakers last night. They've got good depth, and they absolutely 100% are not going to take that much money back.
I have to know, how pleased were you that you got to say Darrell Arthur, who dropped 20 on the Lakers last night?
I got a little jolt through my body.
Yeah, a little tingle there, right?
Like, just electricity was surging at my extremities.
No, it's kind of, you know, you were basically just walking along the carpet in your socks.
So amazing, too, the dunk at the end. Oh, so good. Yeah, and know who these guys are too. Is part of it is kind of as a corollary to number one, where you don't overvalue your favorite guy. Recognize how good some of these other guys are. You know, don't think that Luol or Andre Iguodala, like, oh, well, Iguodala can't score. What does Denver need him? And it's like, well, he's their best perimeter defender.
Yeah,
he matters a lot to these guys.
Yeah.
Our last one is number seven. Don't throw picks out there like they don't mean anything. This is one that makes me nuts. I just get crazy about this. What do you think about this in picks? What do you think about this in picks? Well, what if we give a pick here? And I think that happens a lot because they're a big commodity. But, I mean, good God, guys. Like, not everybody's just going to throw out a pick there for you just so you can have one. And you really need it? Like, that's the other thing. Is I see guys with, like, playoff teams. And it's like, they're not going to need that pick. They don't want that pick. They don't want the rookie contract.
Right. And especially teams that are close to the luxury tax, they don't want that guaranteed four-year deal.
Right.
And you have to know that. For this, like, you have to know, one, I think you have to come out and stipulate, like, look, I understand this is going to be, like, top 14 protected for the next 2 years and then top 10, and that, you know, you can't just say, well, it's a first-round pick. Like, those, they're almost always protected. It's very hard to get an unprotected pick. Even the Toronto-Houston deal, as weird as it was, they put weird restrictions on that, but they still put restrictions.
Right.
And you also have to know, It's much like make sure the money matches. Make sure your team has a pick to give.
Yeah.
You can't, like, the Lakers can't just throw in a first-round pick. They don't have any for a while, it seems right. like. None that they can trade, at least. There is the Stepien rule.
Again, not asking you to be fully aware of everything. Just, you know, do a Google search for draft pick debt, and you can find the stuff.
Yeah, it's on, I don't know if we can mention it. You can tell me after this, and I'll edit it out if not. Hoopsworld.com has...
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah, has draft pick debt.
So those are our seven saintly rules. I you know, that covers a good chunk of time. I want to kind of have this conversation with you because NBA scribes and bloggers in general, we talk about this stuff a lot. And the thing I hear a lot is, God, I hate trade season.
Yeah. You hear that from me.
Jay Skeets hates it. A bunch of my HP guys hate it. There's something about it that bugs a certain type of person. And you're one of them. So I kind of want to get your thoughts on why you hate trade season so much.
I think I don't dislike actual trades. I love actual trades because now you have to think about the NBA in a completely different way because it changes the landscape of this team, which means they're above this team, which means they're above this team, which affects the playoff race. Like, I love actual trades. It's the fact that as I have gotten into this business and I have learned to talk to reporters and learn to, like, pick brains of people in the organizations, outside the organizations, that cover the organizations. And this isn't, like, this isn't information that everyone can get, but we've talked about this before of if a rumor gets out, there's a reason.
Yep.
And that's the thing. It's like the rumor of, oh, a three-team trade of Dwight to Brooklyn, Robin or Brooke Lopez to Minnesota, and Kevin Love to L.A. Why do you think that guy, like, why would this trade rumor get out if this had even a chance of happening? Now, you do have those long-standing, like, there's the Dwight Mayer, there's melodrama. Like, there are those ones with superstar players that get dragged out over months, and the rumors end up becoming true. But for the most part, I feel like I would say, like, 80 to 90% of trades that go down, we end up going, where did that come from? Like, we didn't hear about that at all.
I agree.
And that's the problem I have with it, is it becomes, hey, this rumor just got leaked out. Let's talk about it. And for me, I think, like, well, why are we talking about something that's dead? Because most likely that's dead.
Yeah. For me, often I tend to take the approach of, one, it'll indicate, depending on who it is and how it does. Because here's a big one. There's a difference, though, there. I want to stipulate. If you got a guy that says multiple sources in both the Bobcats and Bucks confirm
sure
that this deal was discussed.
Yeah,
that's a different thing. I always take it more seriously if the guy actually has gotten confirmation from both sides.
Yeah,
because I mean that means it's pretty legitimate. A couple things. One, I like it because it tells you about where the teams are at in terms of both the play where they're standing with the player and what their goals for the season are.
Okay,
you know, hearing that the Bobcats are open for trade, I like to hear that because it's one where. You could have the Bobcats would be like, you know what, we're a young team, we want to see how this team gels.
Yeah.
But knowing, okay, no, these guys are movable. You know, these guys, they're looking to make moves. It tells you a little bit about what Cho's thinking about, you know, the direction of the franchise and the fact that, and it lets you know, like, hey, this could actually happen. And it helps me to judge other rumors, too.
Sure.
To be like, well, I know that they've actually been looking because this has been reported for a while. I think also the other thing is to consider it's interesting to me. It's interesting to judge player value to see what's the going rate for these guys.
Okay,
you know, and to kind of evaluate if there was a deal, what was one that was kind of, you know, what are they willing to offer? Especially in terms of knowing the Timberwolves are a great example because of how they deal with trade rumors so loosely. You get a sense for how much they value a player.
For sure, yeah, that's a valid point.
Like, you know, Derek Williams, they don't care about him because they try and throw him on anybody.
Rick Adelman really doesn't like him. I mean, I think he likes him as a person, but I don't think he sees a fit in his system.
Yeah. And so while I can't predict, like, oh, you know, it doesn't help me because it doesn't help me say, oh, well, he'll probably get traded soon because it's just not how it works.
Right.
But it does tell me, you know, the Timberwolves, you know, if he does hit restricted free agency, there's a chance the Timberwolves might not match.
Right.
There's also the element of if a team is looking at, if a team has been shopping a player and you know a coach really likes that one, that's interesting. And if also chemistry is a big one because I can look at the Grizzlies over the past few weeks and say they've been affected by trade rumors. that there's a point where you can start to look at their chemistry and go, their chemistry is being affected because they're listening to a lot of talk.
Right.
And I don't think that it getting solved, you know, or quote unquote, whatever, with the trade the other day is what made them play better against the Lakers. I think it's more of a long-term thing. And it does say, you know, if this team ends up not making it or blowing up or imploding or whatever, you could say, it's reasonable to say, like, look, things started to go badly when the trade rumors started getting circulated.
Yeah, that's fair.
For me, the trades are, it's one of the reasons I love the NBA the most. It really honestly is. As much as I love the basketball itself, the conceptual frameworks and the idea of, what would this guy look like? Oh, like, I love the idea of, like, oh, you know, what if Monte Ellis went to Memphis and, like, got it, you know, or Denver and really fit in well with the system? Like, oh, because I like thinking about guys being able to do more than maybe what their own abilities or limitations will let them do in certain places.
Yeah, I think that part of the conversation is something I really like. I like talking about the fit and everything rather than, like, let's improve this team. I like more the theory of how would Monte Ellis fit where he's not the number one scoring option kind of thing, you know?
Right. Right. Oh, another thing to consider when you're doing trades, don't try and make a star into a role player. don't do that. That ain't going to go well.
But I really think Carmelo could be a six-man for the Heat.
Or just even like guys like Monte Ellis, who's, you know, I use the term loosely, star there, like they're stars and superstars. But like, don't be like, oh, Monte Ellis could be their spot-up shooter. Monte Ellis ain't going to be no spot-up shooter.
Right.
He will come over and mug his own player and steal the ball.
Right. And Wally, you know, Zerbiak him.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
And, you know, don't talk about, I'm trying to think of, like, you know, Brook Lopez is not going to be a six man. That's not going to happen.
Also, don't trade a center to a team that already has a center.
Oh, God. So terrible.
That's not going to work.
What are some of your most favorite overvalued players in the league from fan trade perspectives? Chris Humphreys is one of mine.
I don't mind Chris Humphreys.
Nets fans are... I don't mind Chris Humphreys either, but Nets fans are trying to sit there being like, you know, what do you think about Chris Humphreys for David Lee?
Okay, well, that's ridiculous.
Well, have you seen his rebounding numbers? Yeah, don't cherry pick stats either for me.
Right.
Don't bring that here. Have you seen Reggie Evans' rebounding numbers?
I think that was kind of our discussion about Anderson Varejao before he went down. Was I didn't think like you could properly gauge his value going out or coming in, and so like he means everything to Cavs fans outside of like Kyrie Irving. Like he means everything to that team, but that doesn't mean he means everything to the team he's going to. So I felt like he kind of fell into that. I mean, now it doesn't matter because he's hurt, unfortunately, you know, out for the rest of the year with a blood clot. But that was a guy where I felt like I didn't blame them for overvaluing him, but I thought he was very overvalued. And I think very highly of him as a player.
Another one that makes me crazy is how the Jazz fans refuse to admit that that team is probably going to have to give up Jefferson or Millsap or both. Like, I use them in a lot of trades because I'm like, well, something's going to happen. So here's yeah. Two good players that can move.
Well, you know, Derek Favors is going to be really happy with 18 minutes a game for the rest of his career.
And there's, I asked him, I'm like, you know, they'll be like, oh no, you know, Paul's just, he's just a Jazz guy.
Right.
I'm like, really?
I don't really know what that means, but I just assume that he walks around with a flute.
Oh, anything else on trades?
No, I think that covers it. I think we were just condescending enough. Just condescending enough to keep him coming back.
Hey, it's the Pick and Troll podcast, man. Like, we put in the name.
Exactly. And
seriously, though, the Pelicans' no logo is horrible.
I don't mind the color scheme.
It has baby poop on it.
Well, I mean, that will happen with Pelicans. I feel like that comes with the territory. I don't mind the color scheme. I think that's fine. It's kind of... It's a little like video game create your own team-ish, but it's just far enough from it to where I'm okay with it. But the logo, like I just feel like there are better ways to go about it. It's cartoonish, but it's like kind of psychotic in like the crazy drunk homeless guy way, but it's not like fun psychotic.
Right.
It's just, I don't know, it looks like a bad graphic design project in junior college.
Barnes fans are all mad at me because I said I hate the name. They're like, have you seen all the, what about all these other terrible team names? I'm like, I don't care.
Well, that's another, that's the thing.
It's like me saying like, oh man, Rudy Gay was really bad tonight. Yeah, but Julio Turtle was terrible.
Yeah.
I don't care, that was bad too.
And it's, you want them to be regarded better. You want them in higher regard.
I do, I want them in higher regard.
Yeah.
I want them in higher Rougarou regard.
I still don't know what a Rougarou is. It sounds like some kind of herbs and spice.
Yeah, that's what I think. It sounds like a soup. Like
oh, the stroganoff could really use like another tablespoon of Rougarou.
Yeah, to me it sounds like a Cajun dish where it's like oh, well, what are your soups today? Well, we have jambalaya or a Rougarou is what we're famous for.
Yeah. Do you have sausage in the Rougarou or is that extra? Is that an extra $2?
Extra sausage in the Rougarou?
Yeah.
Yeah, you better be prepared when you get back on Twitter because the Pelican puns, they are flowing.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to do it all night.
Well, anyway, have a good week. Enjoy your trip to Dallas.
Thank you. I will enjoy it. We may have podcasts on Monday or Tuesday. I don't know, but check. Just click on Ion Basketball or Ion Basketball page. I don't know, 50, 60 times a day, and you'll find out.
Every 30 seconds, just keep refreshing it
yeah.
all day. And we may post a podcast.
And go to different computers around the city, different internet cafes.
Because it may not show up on one, and then it shows up on the other.
Exactly, yeah. There's a firewall issue. It's a whole tweet. Complicated thing. Yeah.
Have a good weekend, Zach.
Thanks, Matt.